Our scripture this evening is found in Psalm 119, and we're going to be looking in verses 97 through 104. Now, I understand that to preach the message that we are preaching tonight is very much preaching to the choir, because everybody in this room is a lover of the Word of God. We love the Word of God. We have structured our lives around the Word of God. If the Word of God tells us to do something, we do it. And if the Word of God tells us not to do something, we don't do it. But here was a man that we've seen as we've been on this journey. And it feels good to be back on Sunday night. It's been like since the third week of May since we've had an evening service in this building. Obviously, we had an evening service down at the river last week, and that was great. But we haven't been in here in quite some time, and so it's great to be back. But as we've been on this journey with the psalmist through Psalm 119, we have seen his love for the Word of God. We've seen as he has shared with us, excuse me, what the Word of God meant in his life and what it meant to him in the difficulties that he was going through. So Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104, and in honor of the reading of God's Word, let's all stand as we read God's Word. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Let us pray. Father God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the reading of your perfect and infallible word. And God, we just ask that as you illumine the heart and mind of the psalmist, when you gave to him this infallible word, that you would open our hearts and minds and show us what it is that you would have us to understand about this word. God, we love you so much, and we offer to you our love, our lives, and this prayer, and in through the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Master. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, believers love the Word of God for any number of reasons. I mean, we start around the room and just begin asking, what is it about the Word of God that you love? What is it about God's Word that just has captured your imagination, that has captured your love and your devotion? I think we love it most of all because God's Word reveals God to us. It explains to us, it shows us in terms that we can understand who God is and what He wants to do, what His goals are. I mean, you know, y'all know that I watch a lot of shows that deal with science, and I do a lot of reading from people that I don't agree with, from atheists and from agnostics and from secularists. And the one thing that I just can't seem to get past in their worldview is that there is no goal. There is ultimately no meaning in the universe if there is not a God. And they can say all they want that, you know, we create the meaning. We create what's important. That's not true. It's not true at all, because you're not creating something lasting. You're not creating something that really at the end of the day means anything. Whereas God's Word shows to us that there is a purpose for all of this. Okay? There is a purpose for all of this. And it helps contextualize the pain that we go through. It helps contextualize the things in our life that aren't going the way that we felt they should go or the way that we wanted them to go. It helps contextualize the pain in our life. It helps contextualize the joy in our life. And it is emphasized in Scripture that this is God's own word to us. Now, one of the things that we frequently don't understand, we're going to look at a couple of passages in the New Testament tonight that are really familiar to us. But, for example, in 2 Timothy 3:16, when Paul is telling Timothy that well-known verse about how powerful the Word of God is, Paul is referring back to what was Scripture. When he says that all Scripture is inspired by God, I don't believe Paul knew that he was writing Scripture. He was writing letters to churches and he was writing letters to people. And obviously every single word was being guided and superintended by the Holy Spirit. But I don't think God ever revealed to Paul, "Paul, I'm using you to write my word. I'm using you to write Scripture." And so when Paul says that all Scripture is inspired by God, he's pointing back to what we're looking at now. He's pointing back to the law and the prophets. He's pointing back to the writings. And he's saying that God's word is precious. That it's inspired by God. That of all of the books that have ever been written, this one is different. This one is different because it is God Himself revealing His mind and His wisdom and His love to His creation. That's emphasized throughout this psalm. I mean, I find it very fitting that the longest psalm in the Psalter deals primarily with the preciousness of the Word of God. That the psalmist is creating or is seeking to create within our hearts the same level of love and respect for the Word of God that he has. And see, he makes this point over and over. Throughout this psalm, he hasn't said the law, he hasn't said a law, he hasn't said any of those things. He said it's God's law. It's God's word. And in this opening verse of our stanza tonight, he says, "Oh, how I love your law." Your law. Because he understands this is not the word of Moses. The law is not the word of Moses. It's not, listen, you know, I've told you, I was taught in my undergraduate work, I don't believe a word of it, but I was taught in my undergraduate work that there were four sources for the Pentateuch, that Moses didn't write. I almost said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Y'all said, "Well, duh, of course he didn't write them." But Moses didn't write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That there were at least four sources. There was the Yahweh source, there was the Elohist source, there was the Deuteronomist, and there was the priestly source. And listen to me, even if that were true, those words in the first five books of the Old Testament are not their words. Now, obviously the professors that were teaching me that would say, yes, they were their words. They weren't divinely inspired. They were, you know, just the words of these men, reflections upon God. And I got to tell you, if this book is just human reflection on God, I'll write my own, all right? I can come up with as good a Bible as any other human. I can find a bunch of rules of things that really bother me, you know? But the psalmist is saying, "I love your law." Because he understands that the word of God is God speaking to humanity. It shows us the way of salvation. You know, we would never have been able to figure out how to make it through this life in a way that honored God even if we kept the Pentateuch perfectly, we couldn't. But even if we could, Jesus told us that that still isn't good enough, because what's going on in our hearts is where the ultimate problem lies. And the psalmist is saying, he's saying in this text tonight, and in the text that we've looked at coming up to this, that the Word of God has changed his life. That he's not the same man that he was before he began getting serious about studying God's Word. And he's come to the understanding that if there is salvation in our lives, it is because God has moved and God has done something, because we cannot save ourselves. And just as an aside, if you were making up the Bible, would you have made up the Jesus event the way that it went? Would that have been your take on salvation? I mean, from a purely human perspective, the entire Jesus event makes no sense. It only makes sense if it is God acting on behalf of his creation. And that's exactly what the psalmist is saying. He's saying that God's word points us to salvation. It's clear that the psalmist wanted to drive this point home. He didn't want to just keep this knowledge to himself. He wanted to invest what God had invested in him in the lives of others. And so he sat down to write this psalm. And what he's doing is sharing with us what he sees God's word doing in his own life. See, God wants us to be immersed in his word because he knows what his word will do in our lives. Let me put that negatively. We frequently do not give Scripture the attention that it deserves because we know what Scripture will do in our lives. See, God wants us to be taught through his word. Verse 97. Twice before, in leading up to these verses, the writer has declared his love for the Word of God. Yet here the phrasing is more passionate. His devotion to God and his Word has built a love relationship between the psalmist and God's Word. It isn't, "I used to love your law," or "one day I will love your law." He describes how he feels about the Word of God right now. He says, "Oh, how I love your law." And that word "how" is a comparison. He's saying, "I love your law more than I love anything else on this planet. I love your law more than anything else." The superficial Christian can read the Word of God. They can follow the instructions that the Word of God gives to them. But only the spiritually mature Christian loves the Word of God. Can't wait to get into the Word of God. Because the spiritually mature Christian lives as though they cannot live without the Word of God. To the superficial Christian, it's a check mark. "I read my Bible today." And I read as little as I possibly could so that I would be able to check that box. But to the spiritually mature Christian, they can't wait to get into the Word of God and spend time in it because it is their food and their medicine, their light and their comfort. They understand that the Word of God is life. Now, what do we do if that's not where we are right now? If you desire to, you can increase your love for the Word of God. You cannot make yourself love something or someone, but you can cultivate love towards someone or something. How do you do that? You give your time to it constantly. You set it before you constantly. You give it your attention and your care. You look after the Word of God. He said, it is my meditation all the day. Give it a truly listening ear. Give it your honor and your obedience. Give it your appreciation. Value it for all the good it has done for you and be thankful for all of that good. Give it your dependence and your trust. Let it care for you. Give it your praise. Speak highly of it before other people. You know, when's the last time that we said to someone, you know, I was reading the Word of God this morning and God was just ministering to me out of this passage. Not, you know, not one of those times when we're trying to use the Word of God to correct someone's behavior, but we see that they're going through a difficult time that God just in His Word that morning brought before us, and we sit down and say, listen, could I share with you what God shared with me in His Word this morning? That's why we memorize the Word of God, why we committed to memory. When we love someone, we don't wish to change them. Spurgeon said, you cannot bend the Bible to your mind. How much better it would be for you to bend your mind to the Bible. Love the whole Bible from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation and be prepared even to die rather than to give up half a verse of it. As you love God, love this book, which is the book of God. He says, it is my meditation all the day. How many of y'all have to go, you know, it's been almost 3 hours since I thought about my wife? We don't have to do that, do we? We naturally think about whom we love. We naturally think about that which we love. And the psalmist is saying, I love your law and it is my meditation all the day. He's going through his day thinking about and meditating upon the one that he loves. He sees the Word of God and he loves it so much and he just declares, it is my meditation all my days and I love your law. That is a healthy Christian experience. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul said, for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Do you see what Paul is doing? He's bringing them right back to what Psalmist in verse 97 is saying. He's bringing them back to this point and saying, listen, you love the Word of God. You accepted it as the Word of God. And the reason that you do that is because you've seen what the Word of God is doing in your life. And he's encouraging them to get more and more into the Word of God. The example of the psalmist should inspire us to read the Bible more, to spend more time reading the Word of God, to meditate on it, to memorize it, to stand by it, to stand for it, and to obey it with all of our hearts. This man's love for the Word of God was more than just words on a page. It was real. It was who he was. And we see that by his commitment to obey it and his willingness to suffer for it. Verse 98. The psalmist says that God's commandments make him wiser than my enemies. You know, there's this account in the book of Judges about the sons of Issachar. And I love what the Word of God says about the sons of Issachar. It says they knew, they recognized the times, and they knew what to do. They knew what to do. See, beloved, God's Word makes us like the sons of Issachar. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, leading up to that verse that we just read, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, I know this is traditionally a Mother's Day text, but I want you to think about what Paul is telling Timothy. He says, you have learned from Lois and Eunice. How could you have learned? Same thing he said just before this, or to the Thessalonians, that they had seen what the Word of God had done in their lives. And Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you have seen what the Word of God did in your mother and your grandmother's life, and that convinces you that the Word of God is powerful. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. See, I've met people that didn't finish grade school that were a whole lot wiser than some people I know with PhDs, because they knew the Word of God. The Word of God was part and parcel of who they were. It was just who they were. And Paul is telling Timothy that the ultimate goal of all of this is to give us the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 99. The psalmist is saying that Scripture gives him understanding that no teacher can. Why? I mean, how could he say that? Because in the Bible, as I've said, we don't have the teachings of humans. We have the teaching of God Himself. Yes, He used humans to write it down. But these are His words. These are what He wanted to say. And He is teaching us the way of salvation. He is teaching us the way to live. He is teaching us the way to grow. He is teaching us how to resist temptation. How many of y'all like when you buy something new at the store, you come home, you open the box, and you carefully and studiously read every single word of the manual. Okay? My wife knows that the manual goes away. I'll figure it out on my own. But I wonder, beloved, if so many people aren't struggling with sin because they haven't read the Word of God telling them how to deal with the temptation of sin. God tells us in His Word how to deal and resist temptation. He gives us understanding in His Word that no human teacher can. I can encourage you to meditate upon the Word of God, but I cannot do it for you. The psalmist says that he has more understanding than all his teachers because he's meditated on the Word of God. Verse 100. In that culture, they had a lot of respect for the aged because they understood that the aged, to have made it that long, had a certain amount of wisdom inherent. Intrinsic to them. Now, obviously our culture doesn't have a whole lot of respect for the aged. But this young man, this young psalmist says that he has more understanding than the aged because he has followed the precepts of the Word of God. Verse 101. Have you learned this yet? That there is a knowledge that you can only find in obedience. That's what he's saying. I have restrained my feet from every evil, that I may keep your word. There is a knowledge that is only found in obedience. Now, the language here is the language of action. He's not just sitting back waiting. He's talking about living in such a way that he avoids evil. I was sitting outside the school this week talking with two of my colleagues from the county schools, and they've both got children that are younger than I am. They both got children that are younger than my children. They had younger children. And we were talking about, you know, the various rules. You know how us older folks talk about how hard we had it when we were young people. And the things that we passed on. And I said, my parents always said to me, nothing good ever happened after 11 o'clock. And they said, you're right. That's good. But what they're saying is that they understood that you have to actively avoid evil. The Bible teaches that you know what you do and you do what you know. Does that make sense? You know what you do. I mean, I know computers. I do this for a living. I know them. I know them pretty well. And so the Bible is teaching us that we sometimes are limited in our knowledge because we haven't allowed the Word of God to change our actions. Every time we open the Word of God, it ought to change our lives. See, Jesus emphasizes this in the Great Commission. Remember what He said? He said, go and make disciples. In other words, make disciples, make people just like you. But then he didn't say encourage them to read the Word of God. He said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded. I can't teach you something that I myself don't know. And so Jesus is encouraging them to teach what they No. To teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7, 24, Jesus wants us to understand, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, Scripture never just gives us knowledge just for knowledge's sake. Scripture gives us knowledge in order to change our behavior. Jesus said that you hear these words and you act on them. You do something about what you've heard. Honestly, Jesus is saying, you don't know the Word of God unless you do it. Verse 102. The psalmist is telling us that our best companion in the fight against temptation is the Word of God. If only we had an example of that. Await. When Jesus was tempted, now, get your mind around this. Jesus can turn water into wine. Jesus can heal the sick. Jesus can bring sight to blind eyes and hearing to deaf ears. Jesus can cease an issue of blood that had plagued the woman for years. Jesus can tell people that are paralyzed and lame, stand up. Jesus can say to a dead man, Lazarus, come forth. And so when he's faced with temptation from one of his created beings, Jesus could have unleashed all kinds of havoc on the life of Satan. But what did he do? He went right back to the Word of God all three times. He used the Word of God to resist temptation. God knows how to fight every temptation. You know, the Word says that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. But I don't think that means that God is saying, okay, it's okay for you not to use my primary weapon, not to know the sword of the Word, and then find yourself in temptation and not know how to respond. God knows how to fight every temptation we will face, and His Word tells us how to find victory over sin. If we're not finding victory over sin, then it's probably because we're not spending time in the Word of God. Verse 103. The psalmist tells us that the Scripture has become sweet to him. Now, to us, this may not make as much sense. But in that day, honey was the sweetest substance they knew. They used it to sweeten everything, the way that we use sugar. They used honey. And so he's saying that the Word of God is sweet to him. That the Word of God offers him a pleasure that nothing in this world can offer. One commentator said that the communion that we have with God in His Word and in His ordinances is not the same communion that we will have with God in heaven, but it is like it. The psalmist is saying that he gets out of the Word of God something that he has never been able to get from a temporal or a carnal pleasure. Verse 104. He tells us that the Word of God has made him wise unto sanctification. In John 17, 16 through 21, Jesus, you got to get the understanding of what's happening here. This is the high priestly prayer. Jesus has less than 24 hours to live. And he's investing that time into those 11 men and into us. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, part of it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. See, we frequently think that that's a tautology, but it's not. Jesus is saying that he wants God to sanctify them in the truth, and then he says, your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are one. Me and you and me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus prays to his heavenly Father for you and me, as well as his disciples, that we would be sanctified by God's truth, which is found in the Word of God. Scripture has made this man wise unto sanctification. A group of pastors one day were having coffee and they were discussing their ministries. And one said, I could quit my job today as the pastor of my church, and God could put somebody in that position who would do a whole lot better job than I'm doing. But he said, the thing that would scare me about not preaching at that church is what that would do to my sanctification. What that would do for his sanctification. He was saying he wasn't sure if his ministry had been particularly effective in the lives of his people. But he was saying that his time spent in the Word of God and his preparation for preaching was very important for his own sanctification. The psalmist is saying that. He's saying, I know that your word makes me wise unto sanctification. And so if you're struggling in living the Christian life, are you in a place where you can say, oh, how I love your law, O Lord? If you're in a place in your Christian walk where you're struggling, maybe it's time for you to get back into the Word and to stay in the Word until you can say with the psalmist, Lord, your Word is sweet to the taste. Lord, your word makes me wise. Lord, how I love your word. Do we love the Word of God?